Shall we turn in the Word of God to the First Epistle of the Corinthians, Chapter 2. Chapter 2 in the First Epistle of the Corinthians. I would like to begin reading at verse 14 and read down into Chapter 3 through verse 4. The Spirit of God writing through Paul the Apostle and saying, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually or of the Spirit discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? May God bless the reading, and may the Holy Spirit give help in the ministry of this section of His precious word. May I point out to you that the Spirit of God reveals to us in this section three classifications of men, three classifications of mankind. Note with me in this order, please. In verse 14, you have one named who is the natural man. In chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and you have it again mentioned further down, you have the second character, who is called a carnal man. And then in chapter 2 and verse 15, you have the first classification, one who is called spiritual. Note them very carefully. The natural man, the carnal man, the spiritual man. These are the classifications of mankind in the Word of God, and particularly in the New Testament age, the age of the church. Which kind are you? Which kind am I? Think with me of them separately. I'm sure we can very readily recognize the character of the natural man. As Paul writes it in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are by the Spirit or spiritually discerned. The natural man is one who is unregenerated. Never has he or she been born again. The gospel to that man has been a message of foolishness. To you and I who are saved, the gospel is the power of God. But the natural man rejects the gospel of the grace of God. He refuses to acknowledge salvation and redemption can only be obtained in and through the person and by the work of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you are not one of the other two, for the other two in their names and classifications belong to Christians. And if you're not a carnal Christian, and not a spiritual Christian, you're not a Christian at all. You're in the category of being what the Spirit of God says, a natural man. That natural person, unregenerate, unsaved, he cannot understand the things which be of God. And may I say, you don't have to stay that way. God can and you have been hearing even this afternoon, he is able to save you. And you can pass from that natural state of being unregenerated and become a believer in the Lord Jesus and a Christian in the sight of God. But that natural person is absolutely unsaved and unregenerated. He knows nothing of the things of God. Neither can he understand them. And God gives the reason why men and women unsaved do not understand the Bible. It's very plain. Until they know him, they will not, they cannot, and they will not ever understand the Word of God without knowing the author. Many years ago, as I was going back to the office where I worked in my early days of life, sitting on the streetcar, I noticed there was an old colored man reading one of the largest Bibles I ever saw anyone carry in public. But there he sat in the public transportation, reading the Bible. I sat near him. And as I sat near him, I watched for a while. And then I spoke. I looked unto him and said, "That's a good book that you have." He looked up and said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." I said, "I hope you know the author." He looked up at me with a smile and he said, "I've known him for over 40 years. Well, praise the Lord. He was a regenerated person. And if there be anyone here who indeed feels that the Bible is a riddle to his or her heart and mind, get saved. Get acquainted with the author. Find him as your Savior. And pass from death to life." But I particularly want to speak on those two other classifications. Our brethren have certainly been getting to us searching ministry. There's one thing I've got to confess. They didn't give us any soothing ministry. But there's no question of doubt. As Paul said, in the last days, men will have itching ears. Meaning they want to hear something that will soothe them. Well, God certainly has been giving something to search us this afternoon. And I would like to follow up very briefly by reminding us from the Word of God that he has stated there are two classifications of Christians. When God writes about the carnal man and the spiritual man, he is referring to his children, to the believers in the Lord Jesus. And my beloved brother and sister, you and I who are saved, either we are carnal as believers, or we are spiritual. Now when you read the epistle to the Corinthians, and may I say I've often thanked God, and will ever thank God for this letter. The problems of a local assembly, they are enumerated in this letter. They are dealt with in this letter. And what our brethren have been speaking of this afternoon have been things that give evidence that either we are carnal in our Christian testimony or we are spiritual. Now, which is it? And in the local church in Corinth, there unquestionably was the existence of carnality in many, many forms, which Paul had to correct, condemn, correct, and accuse, and bring into the light, and into repentance and recovery. What is the carnal man? Now may we repeat again, the carnal man is a believer. Note chapter 3, please. And note the opening words, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." They were his brothers and sisters in Christ. They belonged in the family of God. They were members of the body of Christ. They were participants in the local church and assembly of believers in Corinth. They were his brethren. But to them he could not, he did not, he was unable to write unto them as unto spiritual believers. Let us search our own hearts again. Would the Apostle Paul write to you, to me, to our assembly today, and address us as to spiritual or as to carnal believers? Which would it be? And why were they not spiritual? Nobody adds, but I write unto you as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now let's recognize the qualification of this expression. What is the meaning that he writes to the believers in Corinth, and he calls them babes in Christ? And if I understand this letter, they had the greatest gift that the church ever possessed amongst them. They came behind in no gift. But possessing a gift is not necessarily possessing spirituality. And so a God-given gift has been given to many of them. They were being abused. And the spiritual character of their lives was contrary to the spirit of God's mind. And what does it mean that they were babes in Christ? Well, let me give a comparison to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2. When Peter said in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, Peter was writing to newborn babes. I hope you note the difference. Newborn babes, just converted. Get the milk of the word. Grow in that milk of the word. And spiritually develop into the testimony of Christ. But to the Corinthians, they should have been spiritual. Men and women that had gone on with the Lord in fellowship and holiness of character and walk. But he says, I got the right unto you as babes in Christ. You have not grown. What the trouble was, the spiritual development of their character, the spiritual development of their lives, was far short. Oh, my beloved brother, my beloved sister, the Christian life is a growth. You begin with babyhood, a newborn babe. That babe must be fed the milk of the word it can digest, and it will develop, become stronger, till the meat of the word is able to be digested. And the man and the woman grow spiritually in Christ. These Christians, they had not grown. They had not grown. They were still babes in Christ. When I was a boy in England, in my young days, there were times when we walked to school in an opposite direction, that is, in a different direction than usual. And like youngsters, we like to have a change. And in one of those places, near one of those places we passed by when we took a different direction, sometimes we'd see a little youngster, approximately looking to be about 10 or 12 months old, sitting in a high chair. But that youngster, sitting in that high chair in front of that house, was 21 years of age. What a pity. Some physical deformity prevented development and growth. I wonder when God looks at his children in his family, how many babies does he still have that may be 21 years of age? Take home the truth of it. My beloved brother, my beloved sister, the responsibility of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is important. But please note with me some of the things our brethren have been saying. Note with me what follows, the marks of that carnal condition. Note what the apostle says. The first indication is the spiritual growth is missing. The spiritual development of the life and of the soul has not gone on. And then second, note that he goes on, he says in verse 2, I fed you with milk, not with meat. I can't give you meat. which choked you, and I still have to keep you on the milk bottle. My, I'd hate to see some of you 21 and 51 and 71 and even us 91 years old people living on a milk bottle. I still have to feed you with milk, and not with meat. Hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are. Now are ye able, for ye are yet. Note that word. Ye are yet carnal. For whereas, now note, whereas there is among you one envying, one mark of carnality upon the believer is the spirit of envy. But that spirit of envy does not stop there. It develops and goes on and produces what? Life. It goes further and produces division. Now you notice, the lack of spiritual growth in the assemblies of God's people will produce a carnal condition, and it will manifest spiritual immaturity, and it will be manifested by envy, by strife, and ultimately division amongst the people of God. For are ye not carnal, and you walk as men? Now the word carnal, we know, implies flesh. And instead of walking in the spirit, the carnal believer just walks as he or she pleases. In the flesh. Now may I say, well, I want to go further on. May I say, you don't have to stay a carnal Christian. You don't have to continue to be a carnal Christian. You do not have to be a Christian who walks according to the flesh. God has an ideal. And that ideal is the third classification. Spiritual. 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 Oh, my beloved brother and sister, if there's anything from the searching ministry of God's word and its blessedness that has been to us in this conference that we should carry away, may it develop every one of us to be spiritual believers. Spiritual believers. Spiritual. Oh, my beloved, let's carry away that ideal that God has set. The spiritual believer. Now look in chapter 2 and verse 15. What God says concerning that spiritual believer. He that is spiritual judges, and may I say better translated, it's the word discerneth, which is the meaning of the original. He that is spiritual discerneth all things, though he himself may not be discerned of all. He discerneth, he has judgment, he or she has a discerning mind about all things. Now let me remind you what the all things are. It has a particular bearing, and if you will note, in verse 14, it has a particular bearing upon the things of the Spirit of God. He discerneth the things of the Spirit of God. How did he develop to that? How did he come into the development of being a spiritual person? Oh, my beloved, the spiritual believer is yielded to the Spirit of God's ministry, the Spirit of God's guidance, the Spirit of God's instruction, and the Spirit of God's work in his and her life and heart through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Now may I put it in another way very plainly in the moments we have left. The spiritual believer has not neglected his or her spiritual education. I value the words that were written once, I think perhaps 40 or 50 years ago, by William Lyon Thus, who was a Christian man, professor emeritus at Yale University in the English languages, who said, He said, I believe that every young person should have a university education. But he says, I prefer that every young person should have a university education with a Bible education, rather than to have a university education without a Bible education. The man put the word of God first before the secular education of the world. And though he was high in the intellectual realm, the word of God was preeminent in its thinking and in its counsel. My beloved, I want to say, and pass it to you young folks, your spiritual education is more important than your secular education. It is. So you go off to school. So you're privileged to enter into the intellectual world and pursue whatever may be the guidance of God, the Spirit in your life and your life work. Let me tell you, the spiritual education of the Word of God is what you need more than anything. You know, it's a wonderful thing. You and I have a university. And it is the university of the Bible. I want you to go back with me in this chapter 2, please, very carefully. And I want you to follow with me that which develops the spiritual man and the spiritual woman. Let me go back and read, if I may, in verse 9. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I want you to note something. The scope of spiritual education is greater, is higher, is more extensive than any earthly education. The human eye cannot penetrate and reach the vastness and the greatness to the boundless extent of what is a spiritual education. And you know, the human eye can see millions, trillions of miles away by a powerful telescope. But says God the Spirit, the education of the believer, his spiritual education, goes further than where the human eye is able to penetrate. Likewise, the human ear, the sounds that it can take in from the universe around, whether minute or great, the spiritual education of the believer in its course is beyond all that human ears may be able to speak to. And then further, the things that have entered the heart of man and what has not entered the heart of man. The great discoveries, the realm of nuclear physics, the realm of planetary exploration that has amazed us in our days. May I tell you that this Bible holds a vastness of education beyond what the heart of man could ever conceive. Hallelujah. Then know what God goes on to say. Though the scope of it is so great, yet God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. My beloved, may I say, we've got a divine teacher. We have a divine revealer. And the things of God can be and must be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And know what He goes on to say. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, the depths of God. I don't know how you feel about it, but I want to know God. Not in a shallow way, in a deep way, the deep things of God. And there's only one person who can teach me, and that is the Holy Spirit Himself. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. My beloved, look, we've got a university of the Bible, 66 books. We have a divine teacher, the Holy Spirit, the revealer of the truth of God. And may I say it kindly, I don't care where you may go, whether you feel led to go to Bible school, or any institution where you can develop your spiritual and biblical knowledge, I don't care whether you go or whether you don't. It'll only be the Holy Spirit that'll make the truth real to you. You'll never learn anything unless the Holy Spirit teaches you. I read of an incident in a magazine, Christian magazine, long ago, where a school teacher who pursued her studies every summer at a university to develop her work in teaching in a particular study. And one winter she found the Lord as her Savior. And when the next summer came, she again went to the university that she attended regularly with many other teachers, professors, who also were following their studies and furthering their education in that realm. And she began to speak and talk with them of the things of God. And then one old professor took her aside and said, "My dear, come here. You're talking about something we never heard about. Since we saw you last summer, who's been teaching you?" She looked at him with a smile and she said, "I've got a new teacher. A teacher with a capital T." As she told him of her conversion, and the Spirit of God was now teaching her the Word of God. My beloved, what a teacher. Note on, please. And I want you to note this in verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." May I again repeat? It is the Spirit of God who alone develops the spiritual character and knowledge and the spiritual growth of the believer. "And we have not received the spirit of the world." I want to put this very carefully before you. Plainly, the world cannot make you a better Christian by its education. What? May I repeat that again? May I put this statement before you? The world is the best place for God to develop you a better Christian. But the world is not in its character able to make you a better Christian. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Now note, Paul says, "We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Why? "That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God." I want you to think of this carefully. Here you and I are told we can know the things of God. And through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago out in the East, in Pennsylvania once, after speaking along some similar line in this section of the book, a dear old brother came to me and he said, "Brother John, I want to show you something I've written in my Bible from Matthew Henry's commentary." And he showed it to me. And these were the words that I read. And Matthew Henry wrote, "At the judgment seat of Christ, we shall be called to account for what knowledge we had of the Word of God and what we did with it. But we shall also be called to account for that which we might have known and did not." Can I repeat it? I tell you, when I read the words, they went down my spine and scraped my soul and searched my heart. "At the judgment seat of Christ, we shall be called to account not only to give account of what we knew and what we did with the knowledge that God gave, but called to be accounted for what we might have known and we did not." Let me ask you something. When will you ever graduate in the things of God? When will you ever matriculate from the school of God? A lady said years ago to me, "Mr. Brownell, what school did you go to?" I looked at her and said, "Sister, I'm still in school. And if I wish to be as old as Methuselah, and praise God I won't, I still would have to say the same." Now what do you notice? We have been given the Spirit of God that we might know the things which are freely given to the God. Here you've got a university. The Word of God from cover to cover. Here you have a divine teacher. Praise the Lord. And here you have the tuition free. That's a lot better than going to college. And some of you parents wondering how you're going to get the kids through. That is quite a hard thing, these days. But here's an education that's free. How many want it? How many appreciate it? How many will go after it? And my beloved brother and sister, in the searching of our souls and hearts today, the very things that our brethren have mentioned would indeed take their proper place in our lives and in our testimonies if we permitted the Spirit of God to develop our spiritual and Christian character and growth. He that is spiritual. And then note, I don't want you to know verse 13 particularly, which things we also speak, says Paul, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Oh, may I reemphasize again? Oh, my beloved young brother and sister, don't put your confidence in a wise man of the world to teach you the things of God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And it's not by the wisdom of this world God teaches his people. He teaches it by his own wisdom, the wisdom of God, which is by the Spirit. But with the Holy Ghost teacher, comparing, now think of these words carefully, comparing, communicating spiritual things by spiritual or with spiritual. Now I want you to think of this last statement. It's a wonderful explanation how you can understand the Bible. How the Holy Spirit will teach you and me in the knowledge of the Word of God. Communicating things, spiritual, with spiritual. And the word communicating could be literally expounding the things that are spiritual. And the word expounding means mixing and putting the truth together. And here's an example. Remember Luke 24, when Jesus walked with the two men that went on the road to Emmaus, and he asked us for the sadness of their countenance and why, they told him their disappointment. They knew him not. But he said to them, all fools, low of heart, not to believe all that the scriptures have said. And then he began, and from Moses and through the prophets, he spoke to them, of all the things concerning himself, ought not Christ to have suffered these things that he may enter into his glory? And the Lord Jesus took the scriptures from the beginning of the book, and he put them together, every reference concerning that he must suffer, that he must die, that he must pay the debt of the cross before he could enter into his glory. And the word expounding means, he put the word of God together on the subject of his death and of his person. And you know what happened to them? Didn't they say, did not our hearts burn within us while he spake to us by the way? And my beloved, you and I should be the students of the word of God under the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the word of God, teaching us, putting together the truth of the Word of God from the beginning to the end of the Bible for our spiritual growth. You know, we live in days when the Spirit of God is so greatly emphasized in certain truths. But may I say that I believe that a Spirit-filled believer will be a Bible-filled believer. The Word of God will abide and fill his and her heart for the development of a spiritual believer by the Holy Spirit cannot be consummated apart from the knowledge and the teaching of the Word of God. Now let me close, for close I must, and repeat. Here are three men. Which kind am I? First, the natural man. Unsaved. Unregenerate. On the way to hell. I hope none of you are that. But thank God you need not go out of this building today without being saved. Then here are two other times, classifying the believers. Ask your heart the question, am I a carnal Christian? Have I neglected my spiritual growth? Have I said other things before my spiritual development, my spiritual life, the spirituality of my testimony for the Lord? Am I carnal? Am I walking in the ways of the flesh? And all that our brethren have said to us in warning us and searching us have been the evidences of the flesh. But then, he that is spiritual, he that permits the Spirit of God and yieldedness to his authority and control, to teaching the ways and the truth of God and growing the grace and the knowledge of the Lord through this book, he will be able to discern all things. One of our brethren said, and oh, how we need it. Amongst us today, if there's one thing we need, it is spiritual believers, spiritual elders, spiritual leaders, and spiritual believers, both men and women. My deep and earnest prayer is, as a result of God's ministry by the Spirit through the Word, through our brethren at this conference, we shall go our homeward way and grow in spirituality for his name's sake. Amen.